I would like to call this meeting to order at 4:05. This is the first meeting of the EBC of the 2012 budget year. You all have on your desk, hopefully you have your book, and you also have a budget presentation schedule that everyone has with page numbers up front and the timing on all of those things. We're going to start off with a county administration explanation of the budget. Let me just remind people, those of you who were here last year, and I think it's everyone, we will go through this process. We will ask questions. Hopefully, we will not make statements and until it becomes voting time. And you will notice the time period on these are short. We are not doing the whole budget. We are doing OTRs. In a sense, as you look through all the things that are being talked about here. And questions, of course, keep in mind questions that you will need to ask at the end of the presentation. Any questions that come up that I believe will be questions that you could either ask in a phone call or an email, if you would filter those questions through the county administrator's office to specific department heads, I think that would facilitate the matters of importance for the budget. Yes. Someone has their hand up?
Yes.
Carol?
Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit more about the limiting of discussion to just OTRs? Is there an appropriate time to ask about other items in the budget that we might have questions about?
Well, I think as you formulate your questions and we're on departments, then clearly the OTRs for that specific department would be the time to ask that.
Thank you.
Mike?
I wondered when we were going to talk about ground rules here a little bit. For example, last year in our process, we ran out of time before we talked about major things like our capital program. And are we going to have that scheduled in here so we for sure not to lose track of that this year?
Yes, we are.
And when would that be?
Joe, I think we...
It's a part of our presentation, county administration
right.
Presentation, which will be on the 19th.
Okay.
Okay. Dooley.
I understand your desire to keep us moving and to have us filter our questions and send things directly to departments or filter them through Joe to departments. But I often learn something from the answers to questions other people ask, and I'm going to miss that if they don't get to do it at our joint meeting.
Well, let me just say that I say that at the beginning of this process, and I would hope that there's a potential for you all leaving it to my discretion whether I think those are the kind of questions that should go directly to the county administrator and then to the department head, or that they're able to be answered right here. Brian.
I hate to mess with the program right off the bat, but I'm assuming that first on the agenda is kind of a tutelage thing, Joe.
Absolutely.
And just so that we don't have to basically do it again, would it be possible to maybe set that further back tonight and substitute it when hopefully maybe we got as many people as possible here? Otherwise, we're going to interrupt and we'll have to reinvent the wheel.
Joe, Martha, and...
That's a question.
I think we'd be fine with that. We're flexible. It's just that some departments may not arrive until their appointed time. So, for example, personnel may not be here until 5:15. So, I mean, we're as flexible as you'd like us to be. I do hear that you don't want to have to do it twice. So,
Martha.
There's already a strong majority of us here, and I think if we don't have the intro, it'll be hard to... The purpose is so that we know how to listen to and understand the books as they are.
Aduli, and then Frank.
I had a quick call from Will earlier, saying he will be arriving late. He didn't want to miss the tutorial part of it. Would I please take notes? My response was, I always take notes, but even better, is it going to be taped? And the answer is yes. So he can watch that
Yeah, I was aware of that. He let me know that he would be late. Frank?
Two questions. Jim, first the easy one. I have three copies of the budget presentation schedule. One is green and two are white. The only one of the white ones has the page number on it, but none of them have dates.
None of them have what?
Dates.
They all do at the top of the column.
No. The date as to which one, which is the last version, so we know which one to use.
Oh,
is it the white one with the page numbers?
Yeah, the white one with the page numbers.
We can pitch the other.
The green is very pretty, but not usable, and the first one is out. So we are using the one with a page number. I came in here and said, gee, I know that first question will be, what page are we on? So there it is.
Second question. Each year we have a different mix of county legislators here when it comes to voting. Can you remind us how many votes it takes for us to change something, put something on, or is that going to be under Joe's tutelage?
Frank, I'm told, and I remember a majority of those present at that time.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Mike?
One other housekeeping thing. I noticed we had some replacement pages, but they have the same numbers on them, but they don't say they're revised anywhere that I can see. And so hopefully if we get future ones, they'll have a revision date or something on them.
Noted. Someone had their hand up, Pat.
I just have two pages that say budget presentation schedule, and the white one does not have a page number.
That's out.
So can I get one that... Thank you.
Yeah, coming to you.
Me too.
There's no
Kevin, I have the same problem.
Hold on. Raise your hand if you don't have one with page numbers.
I'll further say that this is the one I was just asked to put in people's desks. So is that the one that's out? Okay. So we all got the wrong one over there.
20 copies.
We all.
Marcia?
Oh, I think people are looking for a page number, thinking it means a page number at the bottom.
Throw them away.
Peter?
I'm really confused. I don't know which ones of these. Sorry. I don't know which ones of these to throw away and which ones to keep.
Throw the green one away.
Yep.
And the one that we're going to give you, do not throw away. The page numbers are right in the first column. It says page and the number sign.
Oh, page. Oh, that's what's meant.
Yeah.
Okay, I got one of those.
Okay.
I thought it was a number at the bottom of the page.
No, not at the bottom of the page.
You're in order of section and then page number, and I'll explain a lot of that in this presentation.
Which is why I think we should do the presentation first. Dooley.
Mike asked that the replacement pages be dated. I would ask that they be on a different colored page, as we talked about earlier.
All right. Kevin, dated, different color. The next ones will be that way, right?
Yes. Let me explain those six pages that you have replacements for. Six pages of replacements. The first one is the overview, budget overview.
It's a total of $12 in unallocated that didn't get picked up on the refresh. So not a big difference. The next one is county administration. One of the OTRs didn't get added into the top column. Same with facilities. They were late revisions that took place after the budget book went to the printer. And there are three pages, two sheriff and one with youth services, where there were small FTE changes.
So nothing that affected bottom line except the $12 effect. So that's the only effect on bottom line is $12.
But it doesn't affect property tax levy at all, 0.00003.
Is there any chance of getting...
You have a question? Please raise your hand.
Is there any chance of getting all the pages that get distributed after this on three-hole punch paper?
Yes.
So we can put another. Thank you.
I don't know how much more will fit in those binders. But okay.
Well, second one.
Okay. Joe, I think we're going to proceed with the county administrator. We have 10 of the 15 people here, and
good. Okay.
I would like you to do that.
I'm going to spend 30 seconds, and Kevin will spend the rest of our time. You know now that this is a reformatted document. It's different than what you've seen in the past. So we'd like to spend a couple of minutes to go through that to show you what's new, what's different in structure. We're also going to take a couple of minutes to explain basically the development of the cap budget, and that will relate to where the OTRs are in here. So again, our goal is to provide you a document that helps make decisions because it's easier to read, it's simpler to follow. And we've tried to put as much into this budget as we can in a logical order to help you do that. So I'm going to ask Kevin to go through. We've got a quick PowerPoint to highlight some of the most significant changes in this book, and then we can answer any questions you have after that.
Okay. So again, Joe mentioned this is a new version. The goal is to serve as a more effective decision tool for the county legislature and a source of information for the community. The book essentially includes four sections and four appendices. And I'm just going to briefly touch on each of those sections and what they include, just so you know you have an idea of what you're looking at as you go through it. The first section is kind of an overview of the entire county. It includes a community profile, an organization chart, has contact information for county legislators, as well as a district map. So if a community member is interested in finding out, all right, I live in this part of the county, and I can see a number here and track it back to legislative contacts. So, I don't know, hopefully you get another phone call from somebody or an email. We also included the department contact information and the agency contact information in this section. In years past, it was incorporated in the budget book. We're just trying to clean it up. So, all that information got moved to the front in this section one. Section two is our fiscal summary. And the first one is our biggest achievement is the budget overview by categories. And it really gives the individual, that's section 2, page 1. So you'll see throughout this document or how we define page numbers as first it's the section and then it's the page. So section 2, page 1 is the budget overview in category form. So I'll just mention also there's summaries of the over target requests where they were below the or they were at the 2.9 threshold. I separated them out from the ones that go above that. So everything in the summary version you can find in the fiscal summary that the county administrator chose to support up to the cap, and then you can look through the summary of OTRs above that cap in both what he supported and what if it has a zero in it, obviously he didn't support. Those are just the summary versions. There's a full version in Appendix B, which I'll get to as well, of all of those under the cap. Peter?
I'm a little, how do you know what puts, and I even know how to ask the question, but what puts an OTR in below the cap or above the cap?
And I'm going to get to that. I just wanted to identify where this was. And okay. Give me another couple slides, and I'll okay. Happily answer that question. So, again, this is Section 2, page 1. This is the top half, and I just sectioned it out so I could blow it up and show you. This is the total expenditures. This is what the county spends in 2011 modified, $159 million. And it's recommended to be $161 million under what Joe supports at the 5.4% threshold. So, you know, in the past we haven't been able to see this number, and we worked really hard to make sure that this was available. But you can also see where salary and wages are, where overtime money goes. You can see how much we spend in mandates, and this is the expenditure side. There are some revenues that help to offset that, but they're not right here. You know, ultimately, this is what we wanted to be able to show you and the public. And the bottom half of it is the revenues. It shows federal aid, and you can see that it's increased a little bit, but state aid has declined $1.2 million, almost $1.3. Additional revenues are located there. And what we did is we separated out the unallocated and the property tax levy. And if you want a good glimpse of what that unallocated amount is, it's on the next page. So that's section 2, page 2.
Martha? As an example, automotive equipment, the fourth line from the top, is that sort of everybody who has cars. It's all consolidated there?
It is, yes, for the entire county. And I will point that out as well, Appendix A, but I'll get there in a minute. So, again, there's property tax going up by 5.4 under this scenario.
Peter?
Now, the mandates are not necessarily mandates that we have to pay for out of local dollars, right? That's mandates that are paid for by local dollars as well as the mandates that are paid for by state and federal dollars.
Yes, under this under this point, this is what we totally spend, but this doesn't include what we get in assistance from other sources.
Carol?
Back on page 1 of Section 2, the interfund transfers.
Yes.
Revenues, can you tell us about that? The implications of it being a negative
most
number?
Most of that is money going, and I didn't bring those up, but I changed A fund distribution to interfund distribution. That's money that's moving around from one part of the county to the other. Highway department has a separate fund. So A fund is our general fund where we keep, all our books, but money gets transferred from that A fund or interfund into the highways fund. So that's around $4 million of that is covered there. Workforce development also has a interfund transfer, and so does airport.
Solid waste. Debt service, airport pays the debt service. But the two largest items
of interfunds are there's over $4.5 million general fund pays to debt service, and the highway subsidy is over $4 million. So, and the rest is under solid waste pays about $1.1 million in debt service from that fund, and everything else is less than $1 million. But the county has to operate under fund accounting, separate funds, and in order to move monies from one fund to another, there's a specific requirement that the way it be identified as a transfer and not as an expense. So it gets confusing, but
we're just trying to be transparent and show it here.
Peter.
So the interfund, can I ask a follow-up? So do I understand correctly that the interfund, what you're calling the
interfund,
is a general fund?
Yeah. Is a general fund.
That things sit in before they get put into
right.
a specific fund.
Yeah.
Peter.
Thank you.
When I was on the town board, the one thing I got to hate was interfund transfer because it obscured any kind of analysis of trends. That whenever you ask the question, why is our expense on such and such a thing gone up or gone down, the answer was always interfund transfer. And it may be a good bookkeeping term, but I'm not commenting on this, but that was my experience on the town board. It made any kind of trend analysis just impossible to do. And particularly when it's this big, it makes me a little bit nervous that there might be the same kind of obfuscation that's brought on.
Joe?
Yeah, we won't let that happen. If there's confusion over anything, we will clarify it. I think if you look at, for example, the highway fund and you want to see trends in the highway fund, we've now given you an opportunity to do that. You can see spending in the highway fund totally. Then you can see how much of that spending is supported by property taxes. Property taxes come to the highway fund as an interfund transfer. So if there's ever a point when you feel like these are clouding the issue, you let us know and we will clarify it. I think the way we're doing it here will give clarity as opposed to confusion to that one.
Kevin continues.
Dooley?
Just above total expenditures, there's an entry on page 1 called contribution to SP agencies. What's SP?
Yes, sorry, I didn't explain that. That's sponsored programs.
TCAT, the CC3, yes. Library.
You'll find them lumped together in those. It's essentially a program expense line, but it's for specific agencies that we support.
Go ahead, Kevin.
All right. Now, rollover, I just truncated everything that's in the middle. I didn't include all the. This is page 5 of section 2. This is just going to show you we had about 640 $40,000 in carried from previous year rollover. In 2010, we certified 988. That total is 1.6. What happens then is this past few months, we approved, or you approved, the use in 2011 of 302,000. The budget recommends the use of 305,000, and 19 of that gets returned to the general fund. So there's still available remaining balance of just over $1 million.
Martha?
On the on our page 5, the full page, it only has 18 departments listed.
Those other departments either do not have any rollover, or they have essentially a slight negative. You'll see, and so therefore, it didn't populate above. Sheriff's Office has a negative $27 on there, but in 2010, they had a lot of rollover, so they were able to ask for to use some of that money.
Thank you.
Okay, so now I'm moving on to Section 3, and this is a very large section. It's 480 pages. These are your departments and the budgeting units, and they're listed alphabetically, starting with airport. And each department or budgeting unit can have up to 5 components. If it is just a budgeting unit, such as the interfund or the debt service fund or one of these other pieces, it won't have a page 2, which is the section 2 of that, which is a full-time equivalence. So departments will have the summary information as page 1. And I'm going to move on to that. So this is it. Starts with the description or the mission statement. In the middle is a comparison of 2011 modified to 2012 recommended. In the bottom is a summary of the net local for each budget division within a department. So county administration, in this example, has 6 budgeting units. I was counting, so sorry for the delay. 6 budgeting units displayed here. And you can see down at the bottom, or each row, and I'll just note a row, 1230. And you can see the numbers there. They're a little small, a little foggy. But if you open to a page in the book, which is
41,
thank you. 3-41, you can see this for yourself. That first row is important to note, but if you add up the bottom, that should equal the same as the grouping above. The bottom right corner of this box and the bottom right corner of this box should be the same, because you're just breaking it out by divisions. Now, another point to note, just keep an eye on that number, 114,000. I'm going to show this to you later in this section of the document. Page 2 is county administration, and it shows you a cleaner version of the numbers for your full-time equivalents. And it also shows the cap, what it would be if we only raised property taxes by 2.9, and what it would be if we went up to the 5.4 under Joe's recommendation. This is, Peter?
Sorry, is budgeting unit what we used to call program?
It's a functional unit. It's not a, well...
No.
No? Okay.
Sometimes they coincide, sometimes they don't. They're the old budget divisions that, again, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Okay.
Julie?
In our financial policy, budgeting units are defined. I don't know whether everyone who's newer on the legislature has had to read our financial policy, but it's useful for something like this.
Thank you. Kevin?
All right, so I talked about that row, the full row of 1230, county administration. This is the next, zoom in, if you will. And so now you can see a bunch of categories. Remember we looked at that first page on Section 2, and it had the full breakdown of the entire county? Well, this is county administration budget unit 1230. And it shows salary and wages, other capital equipment, other supplies, travel, training. You can really see, as a group, how much is spent in this department. So, and then that net local on the bottom, that dollar amount equals what you saw on the first page of county administration for that row. So here you can see the cap, This is at the 2.9% property tax cap. This is what county administration would look like. And this may include, it includes all of priority one requests of departments, and it also includes several number twos, threes. Basically, this was under Joe's discretion to pick which ones fell under the cap. Above the cap, there were requests for additional funding, requested OTRs. This is what the department requested, and Joe recommended restoring his own budget. So the total of requested OTRs plus the cap gives you your total recommended.
Carol, Brian, Peter.
No, I think I answered my own question. So the page you showed us first.
Page one of the department.
Page 43. That I was going to ask why that only added up to the number on the first row.
Should only add up to the number on the first.
Because it's one line.
And then
it's
now,
each line
yeah, exactly. And if you go to, so you'll know how many budgeting units belong to that department on that first page.
Brian.
Just so I don't have to ask it over and over, what sort of fringe percentage are we using? What
56.5.
What is it?
56.5.
Okay. And for what?
2011?
Yeah, it was like.
It was 51.4.
Okay.
Do you want me to keep going backward?
Sorry. No, I'm assuming it's been going up.
It has
right
been.
Along.
Yep.
And what about when we get to, like, the sheriff's office? That comes to mind only because their pension contributions are a bit higher than...
That's not the way we allocate the funds.
Okay, that's right. Never mind.
All right.
Okay.
Someone had their hand up over here. Peter and then Martha.
Those fringes have me confused.
Please use the microphone, Peter.
Yeah, those fringes... I don't understand. In 2009, they were zero. Then they're 111,000, then 123,000.
We used to.
Yeah, let me take it.
Until 20. Let me just finish. The 123,000 is not 56%.
The 123 is not, and it shouldn't be. It should be more like 51% in 2011. It should be 56 in 2012.
Okay.
The reason it's zero, that is a good point, Peter. It's a little confusing. Until 2010. We charge our fringe to a single account. So you wouldn't see this in a departmental budget. It was all kind of in the back pages of the budget. It was only in 2010 that we began to decentralize that cost, so you got a better understanding of the full cost of each of our departments.
Okay, thank you.
Martha.
Kevin, you said 2011 fringe was what?
51.4.
51.4. And then 56.5. This year, what is the amount of levy required for, amount of taxes required for 1% of levy?
$406,000.
Okay, thank you.
Frank.
Kevin, this begs another question. Brian asked what percentage we're using. Is there somewhere in here that there's sort of a summary page of items we're using as guides, like for every $160,000 home that represents a tax table, so that we don't have to keep going back and asking individual questions?
It's not in the book, but
it's part of the calculator.
We can make a sheet like
just
that.
Just a sheet
you.
So we can
that
stick
would
it
be
in
helpful.
Here.
Sure.
Thank you.
Peter Dooley.
Another question I've been thinking for the past couple of minutes. When you say effect on the property tax revenue, what is it you're doing with the other sources of income, local sources of income, like sales tax, for instance?
We've estimated that number, and that stays stable unless...
I know, but how do you allocate it when you say that...
You don't.
It's unallocated.
It's in a central account. So Kevin talked about unallocated revenues, which are outlined in the front of the book. They just stay in a central account. And they're used really to reduce property taxes. So you don't distribute sales taxes to each individual department. You keep them in a central place, and it just becomes one revenue that helps pay for the entire budget.
So I guess, I'm trying to understand, what does it mean to say that funding this OTR would increase the property tax by something or other?
Right.
I mean, it must mean that you've spent the whole whatever it is, you've spent the whole other sources
that's
of income.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And remember what the property tax is. It's the balancer.
Right.
So it's all of your expenditures less all of your revenues except for the property tax. That's the levy. So every additional dollar you add to your expenses are inherently supported by property taxes.
Okay, thank you.
Dooley.
On page 41, under functional unit, there are numbers. The first, 1230 is, when you turn the page, it's called county administration. 1232 is called county administration. 1986 is called county corridors. They each have names, but three of them have the same name, county administration, and I don't know how to distinguish what's included in those.
Well, 1232 is AGA, Joe, that's Susie's component.
1232 is, I see what you're saying, though.
Pull this down from the fiscal database. They need to be updated, that's all.
No, it truncates, so it cuts off after a certain number of letters. So we may need, when those divisions occur, to give you the full title. Because you're right, 1230 is really the core of my operation. 1232 is the contribution we make to the paralegal that works on CGATI.
It's not on that page.
It's on that page. So what we need to do, when that department comes up, we'll try to give you the full title of that account.
Thanks.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kevin.
Can we come back to the fringe rate again? That sounds like a really large jump in the percent that we're allocating. And could you refresh my memory on, or elucidate us on, how much of that, was it 4.1%, 5.1% rise in the fringe percent allocation is a change in our policy about fringe? How much is state requirement? And how much is just because of the vagaries of the numbers and the percentages?
I'm not sure about policy.
All of it.
Pensions
is.
Are up by almost 3 points. So about 3% of that increase is attributable to pensions. Most of the rest of it will be attributable to the expected increase in our health benefits to employees and retirees. So that's where the bulk of that growth is occurring. With respect to policy, I don't know that there's any policy issues in there, except for our decision as a part of collective bargaining to share health costs in certain ways. But much of it, again, between those two things, pension and health, that's where virtually all of growth in that account is coming from.
There's also a inverse relationship. Payroll is not going up, but the amount being spread against payroll is.
That's what I meant. Thank you.
Now, the fourth section of a department, not all of them will have these. These are the OTRs above the cap. So in the department's specific component is the breakdown of what you guys have seen in the prior years, and it shows the line item of these explanation of an OTR. So these are the OTRs that go above the cap. There are certain departments that don't have an OTR above the cap. They were covered under the cap. Assigned counsel who will be presenting tonight, they're an example of a department where Joe was able to support them under the cap. So you can see like priority two there in the top left corner. That it just shows that priority one was covered under the cap. Priority two is located here. And again, you can look at those in either Appendix B or in the summary, in the fiscal summary section in the front of the book. Now, we had two OTRs above the cap, and you can see down there the department total, the 114, that matches the same number I mentioned on page one. So when you look to see if there's our OTRs, you'll see the dollar amount at the front page, those two columns, and then you'll be able to find their OTRs within the department's document. Well, there it is. Now, the fifth component, these are pieces taken out of the program impact forms. And I apologize, they're not online yet. I hope to have them up by the end of the week. So these are just the dollar amounts, the purpose, and the staff assigned to it, as well as the mandate classification. And it's a summary. So there's only, two per page, and I think ours has about seven of them. So that net local, if you were to go through and add up, the dollar amount may not match what's in the front of the book because there was extra capacity to fund OTRs this year, more than we initially thought. So Joe was able to support a few other additional OTRs. Therefore, those departments, priority one, everybody was covered. If they went above the priority one, this dollar amount, if you add up all the net locals, won't add up to that department. It was, you know, too fast. Everything happened too fast for me to go and ask every department to go through and make these changes. And we will look at these again after the budget process.
Peter. So if someone were thinking about ways to reduce the tax rate to below the 5.4%, but more than the cap, where would one find the fodder with which to do that? Where do you see that? Do I make myself clear?
Yeah, you do. I mean, it's you can look anywhere you want. That has to be my first answer.
No, I don't mean that,
But I think the eye wants to go to the OTRs that are above the cap. So the OTRs that you see in your book, as Kevin has outlined it, show you what has been added to the cap to get to 5.4%.
Okay, so when I look at the OTRs above the cap, I'll find two different kinds there, one that are recommended by the county administrator and the other that are not.
Right.
That's correct.
They'll have zeros next to them.
And I'll have what?
It'll be zeroed out. So there'll be a recommended column. But here, I'll go back just to show
you're
you.
You're right, Peter. That's it. I mean, some are funded. Many of them, in fact. Some are not. And those are the two types of OTRs that you would see there.
And unfortunately, I can't see this so well.
So the middle, zeros. That column there is requested.
Right.
So that's what the department requested. And right. Next to it is recommended. And that's what Joe has recommended this one. If he didn't, those would all be zeros. It'd be zeroed out.
Okay.
And it's even easier if you go to the line item, if you flip to the line item budget for that unit. Can you do that? There you go. So if you look there, that's the easiest way to look at the combined OTRs that are in the excess of the cap. So that unit in my own department asked for 61,304, and they had a very generous person reviewing it. So the recommendation is 61,304. So that's the shorthand. There you can see what's requested, what's recommended. The longhand is then in that narrative of the OTR that follows those pages right there.
Okay, thank you very much.
Go ahead, Kevin.
All right, section four, and then it gets into the agency requests. And those are, again, alphabetical. Section within agencies, the 1, 3, 4, and 5 are the same. So one is the summary, an overview summary. Instead of the FTEs on 2, it is replaced with a question and answer that we ask the agencies who request funding. So you'll see a write-up from them in that spot. Then the third section, again, is each of the budget units, and most of them only have one. Fourth is over target requests above the cap. And 5 is their program impact forms, the summarized version. Appendix A, and here, Martha, you were asking about vehicles, vehicle fuel and maintenance. You can see if you want to know what exactly is in those categories, you can go and look at the individual accounts that are summed up there.
Look where?
Pat, and then...
I must have misunderstood something. I thought you said there were...
Pat, please...
I'm sorry.
Make your best effort to
use
the mic.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you said there were 5 sections. Did I misunderstand? But then I only heard you describe 4, the last one being the agency requests. So...
Well, 2 in place of 2, and not every...
Okay, so you just haven't gotten up to 5 yet, is what...
Section 5? No,
yes.
There's 4 sections and there's 4 appendices. And
okay.
Within each section, there are
okay.
up to 5 pieces of that, of
I
each
got
department.
You. Thank you.
Yep.
Carol.
When you're describing Appendix A, you said that we could go into the account and look up those amounts. Those are online and not in our book.
They're in your book. The Appendices A is just the list of
the list.
Accounts that are in that category. I don't have the dollar amounts for every account. That would be twice the size of what we currently have.
Carol, is your question, if you want to know how much is spent for photography supplies, will you be able to get that? Is that your question?
Yes, I can get that if you want.
These are all rolled up. So the abbreviated line item budget you have rolled up these items, so you can see what they are. If you want to know how much a department spends for photography supplies, you can ask Kevin. We have to generate that for you.
You have to generate it.
Yes.
It's no place we can just go look it up without bothering you.
And that is one of that's specifically the kind of question that would go right to them. Okay.
Okay, Appendix B, I mentioned before, this is the full explanation of OTRs covered under the property tax cap. So if your first review, you say, I want to look at what else was covered under that cap, you can go here to read through the full amount. Appendix C is our contract list. So this is all the contracts that were submitted to us. I chose finance here because it was small enough to fit onto one piece here. So you can go and look 4 years of data. Membership list is also Appendix D. That's it.
Julie.
The contract list doesn't have them linked by department. Is that right?
I'm sorry?
The contract list of contractor names, it doesn't indicate which goes with which department.
It does. It's alphabetically by department. You'll see at the top left, it'll say the department's name and then a long bar line and then the list of contracts. I don't have it summed up with all the, you know, if there's one particular contractor that multiple places, I don't have that.
Carol?
And the contractor list, if there were a contractor who were paid with state or federal dollars, do they show up here, or is this just the list of our local or just property tax dollars?
No, I believe that's all contracts.
It's impossible to differentiate where expenditure is being paid from, because from the very get-go, expenditures are a different ledger of information. They're not linked to funding sources. So it's only intuitive that you would know that one vendor might be paid 100% from federal funds. That's only because it's a unique little niche. Otherwise, you can't tell because you got expenses, and that's it.
Right. Okay, thank you.
One more. Kevin, do you want to? I think that was...
Yeah, the membership list.
It's Appendix D, the membership list?
Yeah, and Appendix D is the membership list. Okay. I'm sorry, I just jumped right there.
All right.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you.
Good job. Let's roll right into Animal Control SPCA. It's 4-1. I noticed the director of the SPCA is here. And Mr. Gaudreau, right?
Okay, so obviously you'll take a look at the money that we ask for is used to, it's twofold. One is to control the feral free-roaming cat population through a trap-neuter release program, providing spaying and neutering for those animals. But the main effect or goal of that is to really reduce a significant or identifiable threat to human health, which is basically rabies vaccination. While the state mandates that dogs be licensed, vaccinated, et cetera, it does not hold true for cats. So obviously, as far as dollars go, it's all a numbers game at a tune to around $50 a cat. The decrease just affects the overall number of cats we're able to trap, neuter, release. And obviously, you know, population can go pretty exponentially, so the dollars are used for that purpose. So you can see what the impact would be, basically, in terms of the number of specific cats that would be affected by not being able to do that, again, with exponential growth. But really, the sheer numbers are what we're trying to accomplish in terms of getting as many done as we possibly can. So any, you know, the dollars have certainly decreased over time, but it's again, just a numbers game of being able to do more makes prevention better and population control easier.
Any questions?
Yeah. Joe? Can we use this as kind of our learning experience
sure,
here?
Yeah.
If you'll flip back on one slide. Go to the next one if you would, Kevin. There you go. Remember, there are OTRs that are supportable within the cap. There's enough money under the cap to support some OTRs. So every time you see one of these presentations, we want to show you what we included under the cap, so you're familiar with that. So in the case of the SPCA, we were able to fund their number one OTR, which was $1,134, and still, when you bundle that, stay within the cap. The next slide in this sequence, and this will be the same throughout, is what were the over-target requests that were above that cap? And there we're going to provide you with additional details. We're going to show you where the page is. It explains that the priority attached to it by the department. Under where you see REC with a question mark, that is, did we recommend funding it? In this case, we didn't. So there's a $2,600 item out there that was requested in an OTR and not recommended. And if we don't put money behind that, it will affect the spaying of about 75 cats. So that's the way these templates are going to go throughout.
Martha and then Frank.
Two questions. One is, if you could introduce yourself, that'd be great.
Oh, sorry.
And number two is, so the Julie for Joe, the OTR requested, I'm looking at, well, that's the same number, 2602. That's actually not what was requested. That's what was requested beyond the cap, right?
Yeah, and that's true, but. But also, it is a discrete OTR. And again, this may be instructive for all that we do here. Remember that we asked departments and agencies to cut 11.2%. And that's what we thought we needed to hit cap. That proved to be beyond what we needed to hit cap because we found savings elsewhere. But that was the first level of cut they made, very deep at 11.2. For OTR number one, for everybody, agencies and departments, we said, show us what we could put back in if you only had to cut 7.8%. That's what we thought we needed to hit a 5.4% number. So in the case of this, OTR number one, as will be the case throughout this discussion, was that spread. We found we were able to fund all OTR number ones within cap, and we did. So all of those are within cap. Some OTRs beyond number one, we've also recommended funding and have the capacity to do that within cap. So that's what we'll go through. Every time one of these comes up, we will talk about those things. But then, again, to the discrete nature of OTR number two, there was a discrete OTR number two that said, what we'd really like is a restoration of the amount of money we had available to us in 2011. And that was OTR number two. That got them to break even. And my recommendation is no to that one, that we don't put money behind it.
Okay, but the... So if I go to the beginning of section, or appendix B, it shows, the first page there is animal control, so it shows that 1134 that was included, and
right.
The 2602 is on top of that.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
And
Jim?
Sorry, Jim.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Jim Boudreau, Executive Director of the SPCA.
Okay, thank you.
And Frank, you had hand up and then Dooley.
Joe, is it safe to say that all of the OTRs that were funded, whether they're agencies that were recommended, whether they're agencies or departments, are, as long as they meet that 7.8% reduction, are in Appendix B, and that all of the others that are not recommended are part of Section 4. Otherwise, we're going to be flipping back and forth for the next 2 months.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So the OTRs that are supportable under the cap are in that appendix. Right? Okay. They're in Appendix B.
That's agencies and departments.
That is agencies and departments. That's correct. Fully detailed OTRs supported right. under the cap are there. Those that are not supported within the cap are right behind the line item details of agencies and departments. So you see here, I'm on page section 4, number 3.
Number 3.
There it is.
Okay. I got OTR it.
Number 2.
Thank you.
Julie.
What I haven't found, and it may not be here, is where county funding fits into your overall budget. How big an organization you are, how many employees or staff you have, and how we fit into your overall plan of action. And is that in here anywhere?
I don't believe it is, no.
Because it used to be in the old budget, and I found that useful. So I'll just ask you quickly.
Mm-hmm. As far as these funds go, our overall operating budget is about $1.1 million. This, the 30-some-odd thousand dollars that we asked for from the county is about one-third of the overall dollars that this program gets.
For cats.
We basically are usually committed to raising another third of that dollars, and the other third are supplemented through costs from people through the low income spay neuter program, where there's based on income, so we use any dollars left over to then roll into this program. So it's an overall pet population program that this helps fund.
Okay. Any other questions? Mike and Peter.
The program is obviously mostly for feral cats, or all of it. So when you catch a cat and you vaccinate it, when does it have to be vaccinated again?
The rabies vaccination should, as far as the rabies vaccination goes, it shouldn't theoretically have to be vaccinated again. The animals are generally relocated to where they are actually, the population exists. So if those owners then can, maintain normal veterinary care, that's one way that those animals can, just live as a colony on their own. But there's no necessarily telling which animal had been there or which one had not been there. So because that's where the spaying and neutering comes into play, is that it's an important component of not having that population go further. We tattoo them so that we know if they've been spayed and neutered and vaccinated in the past.
So you only have to vaccinate them once?
Well, for a feral cat population, you would in your own, if you had your own pet, you'd have to vaccinate every 3 years.
Yeah.
But in this situation, there's very little way of knowing where that animal has then gone to or where it is, because it is feral and it is just returned back to the place where it came from.
Okay, so we're not catching the same animals year after year after year.
No, it should not be the case. I mean, there's the potential certainly for that's a possibility, but if there's still, we usually notch the ears so that we know if they've been to us before. So there's ways that we can identify them, but typically these would be animals that are new to the population.
Thank you.
Peter.
Joe, you restored some funding that you recommended and some funding that you didn't.
That's right.
And how do you make a decision about that? Is there an argument for where you cut the line, or what?
Is more judgment than science. I mean, what I try to do is to get money behind the things that were most critical to life safety, to health. And frankly, as you look at where we put money, I also had concerns about additional cuts and our ability to basically maintain an organizational infrastructure to do basic things like information technology and finance and things like that. So you will see that I put money behind those things, too, that really support organizational infrastructure.
But is it fair to ask you how you made this particular decision with regard to the cats?
Yeah, it just didn't rise to that same level of health, safety, and core governance I saw in other
programs. And again, there's judgment, so it's something that you may choose to come to a different conclusion on, but that was my judgment.
But wait a minute, you did fund some of the feral cat things, but not others.
Right, and it was because we funded all of those OTR number ones.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Brian.
That's a good point. Just because you did doesn't mean we have.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Okay.
Any other questions for the director? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Assigned counsel is next, 3-13, and Wes is in the back of the room. And as Martha reminded the last person, please say your name. And we know your name, but you know we want your name for the record.
Hi, I'm Julia Hughes. I'm the program coordinator for assigned counsel, and this is Wes McDermott. He is the supervising attorney. This is the bulk of the whole department right here. So we should be able to answer any of your questions. We have two budget units. We have 1170, which is planning and coordinating, and we also have 1171, which is attorney's fees. You can see that the total expenditures for 2012 that are recommended have gone up slightly. That's due to increase in fringes and also a decrease in state aid that we plan on not receiving. We did receive $359,000 this year. We project that we will receive about $300,000 in 2012. Since the inception of this program in 1990, there have been 2.32 people in the department. If you look in the book, Kevin cut Wes out, but he's still here. It is 2.32. So that has been, like I said, since 1990, and we don't see any change in that. We have two over-target requests that have been supported by the property cap. The first one would be to restore our hours to be 32.5 each for me and a secretarial position. Not me, I'm sorry, the program coordinator. That would cut us to approximately 4-day week. The second over-target request would restore us to our present level, which is 35 hours for the secretary, 37.5 for the program coordinator, and 17 for the supervising attorney, which in actuality is about 25 hours that he spends.
These are the ones that are covered by the cap.
Yes, these are the ones that are supported by the tax cap. And these are the only two that we have. I wanted to give you a breakdown of our case assignments for the year. In 2011, this is projected. As you can see, it's about the same as it was in 2010, but I do want to point to the increase in felonies. As you all know, if you read the newspaper, there have been an increase in violent felonies, guns, assaults, stabbings, and those cases are expensive. We need high-level attorneys to handle them, and we feel that there will be a little over 300 this year. We handle 16 courts, 22 justices. We also handle the appellate division courts for appeals for family court and criminal courts. We also handle 4 specialty courts, felony drug court, family treatment court, sex offender court, and misdemeanor drug court. We also process all payments for attorneys. We also process payments for psychiatric evaluations expert witnesses, and private investigators. We also have a new duty this year. We are supplying all the data and working on new initiatives with the Office for Indigent Legal Services, and that has increased our workload. And the over-target requests that we have above the property tax are none. And that's it.
Question, Dooley. Martha.
Will you be handing out a copy of what you just showed us? I don't see it in the book. It's somewhere here?
Yeah, it's right on your desk.
Thank you.
Martha.
I'm overwhelmed with paper.
Thanks, Julia. So this is an example where, Joe, you went beyond the first OTR and also chose to support their second OTR with under the tax cap.
That is correct.
Okay. Julia, the amount for state aid, page, we see a little more history of it on page 16 in section 3. So 2009, it was $413,500.
Mm-hmm.
2010, down to $359,000. 2012, you expect $300,000. So those are big drops.
They are.
Is it, now, maybe this is a question for Joe. Does this have to do with the new Office for Indigent Legal Services, which you're on, so
right.
How come you're not getting us more money?
Well, I'm going to New York on the 27th to try to do that very thing. This does relate to the new way that the programs are being funded throughout the state, where an increasing amount of the grant is going to be competitive, and the competition will be between counties and the money will go to those counties that they think are making the best strides toward improvement or have asked for money that the state believes, will contribute to the improved quality of representation. So what's being shown here is there is money at risk that we didn't have to worry about before. Before, our issue was maintenance of effort, and you remember that one. Spend a buck less, you lose all your money. Now the issue is whether a high-quality program will be able to compete for money aimed at improving the quality of representation. And again, that's one thing that I am trying to bring to the board is you can't play a zero-sum game. You can't punish those who are already at high quality. But it really is unresolved in terms of how that is going to end up. There'll probably be some money also available to promote what the Chief Judge's latest or really primary initiative is right now, which is to provide representation at the point of, is it appearance, first appearance?
Yes.
Which the state would really like to do, the Chief Judge would really like to do, which we have indicated is going to be very, very difficult for a rural county like ours to be able to pull off affordably. So that's going to be a policy issue that will play itself out over the course of this year.
You mean at arraignment, the very first?
That's right.
If someone's picked up at 2 o'clock in the morning, they would like someone there at 2 o'clock in the morning to be with that person, to be arraigned at first appearance.
Not only just someone to be there, but they want the attorney to follow the case all the way through. So obviously that involves us. It's not just a question then of having a designated attorney assigned to the various town courts, because depending upon the particular crime, the level of it, we have concerns about who can handle a case and follow it all the way to conclusion. So that's an additional complication because it certainly involves our office in making that decision at whatever hour it occurs. So,
Julia's thrilled about that.
I'm jumping for joy.
All right. Thank you very much.
I have Frank, then I have Peter, and then I have Mike.
It's more of a question for Joe than it is for Julia or for Wes. On page section 3, page 16, under revenues, just to further expand the explanation, state aid has been zeroed out for 2011 and 2012. replaced by other revenues of $359 and then $300. Is it, are we calling it something different, although it's still state aid, because it's the competitive grant? Or
I don't
is
think
this
so. I think it's just an inadvertence. Was it?
But it's not. It's not. It's not aid coming from Kevin's magic or David's magic category, is it? Well, are there other instances where that's happened?
We'll find out. I don't think so. From time to time in this document, you're going to find glitches like this that we will pick up along the way.
Okay. Right. Just that we don't want to be, we don't want to assume that there's a mysterious donor someplace.
Right. No, none of those have surfaced yet.
Thanks.
Peter?
It's my understanding, please correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding that none of this is subject to our decision-making process. That is to say, if we're told to have a lawyer at arraignments at all times, we will do that. And all of the numbers that are put in here are estimates of what it is we have to spend, but they're not limits on what we have to spend.
That's correct.
If there are crimes that the district attorney prosecutes and we're told that we have to be there at an arraignment, then by God we'll be there at an arraignment and we'll pay the money for it. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Mike?
Is this the state trying to encourage a public defender system where they tend to have an office where people can be at the courts all the time? I don't understand how this will work with an assigned counsel system.
I don't think that's correct because a lot of the public defender's offices are also complaining, and a lot of the big counties are also complaining. There was an article in the New York State Law Journal this week on Thursday where Erie County, Monroe County are just saying that because of the geographic size of their county, they can't have someone at every single court at inception, at arraignment. So I don't think it's to push for a certain model. I think what it is that you have some counties where the attorney meets their client for the first time at trial or hasn't spoke to them before they appear with them, and this is to ensure quality representation, that they will be there at the first arraignment, regardless of when it is or where it is, and that you will have someone there.
But can I just follow up? I'm sorry. I don't understand how it's going to work. If you've got counties saying that they can't possibly have people there, I'm sure there are attorneys out there would be glad to sit there and be available at 2 o'clock in the morning and put you on the clock. But how can we afford that?
I don't think we can, but these are the problems.
How are we?
These are the problems that are out there with Judge Lippman's mandate. I'm not sure it can be done efficiently. I think it's going to be expensive if it happens.
And what penalties are we subject to if we don't do it?
I guess I'm not sure. I suppose that to the extent that they're using the new carrot under the oils formula, that there's perhaps some potential, particularly since Mr. Lay, who's the head of oils, has thrown his weight behind it. So, there's the potential for use of that additional monies, I suppose, as a carrot or stick, whatever, under the circumstances. So.
Pat Pryor.
Thank you. Is it the on the two lines under revenues on section 3, 16, state aid and other revenues, under other revenues where 2011 it's 359 and then 300,000 under the cap, are those the figures that are going to become competitive or some other
figure?
Are those the figures that we're going to have to compute for with a grant? Yes, those are the figures.
So if we are not successful in competing, is it possible that these figures could change pretty drastically?
Each year, the amount that you are asking for by grant is a percentage. Next year, I think that it is 25%. So we would still be guaranteed 75%, but we would be competing for 25%. And each year after that, it goes down.
The percentage goes down.
I'm sorry, it goes up. I'm sorry, the percentage goes up that we're competing for. So we have less guaranteed funds each year.
Martha?
It seems if the problem is that attorneys don't show up until the day of trial, it doesn't necessarily mean the solution is get them there at 2 in the morning.
I understand, and we have gone over this, and we have discussed it, and we've discussed it with our board. And these are things that all counties are struggling, that every county is going to be struggling with right now. We really don't have an answer for you how we're going to handle it, but we know that if he says that we have to do it, we have to do it.
But I understand that in some places, one of the reasons they can't do an assigned counsel program is they literally cannot find attorneys who would work on that sort of, you know, as a retainer, as occasional attorneys, and they even had trouble hiring, you know, on a public defender salary. So if this becomes part of what you have to do in order to be an assigned counsel attorney, it seems to me you're sending even more people out of the business, especially in the small counties, the rural counties. So it's all on you, Joe, you know.
Well, yeah, and I think this is going, they're not going to impose a statewide mandate kind of all at once. This next round of funding, of grant funding, is really to see if there are models out there that they want to put some money behind to see if these models work. And it doesn't have to be even countywide. It might be, for example, if you're a metropolitan county and you have a large city, maybe you want to focus on the city courts and the activity there. So the way I'm reading this so far, and there's still a lot of problems, is it's a gradual approach. They want to put some seed money out there to see if there are models that might work in one county where lessons can be applied to other counties. And I believe that's the way it's going to go. We did have an opportunity, the board members, to comment on the chief judge's draft before his Law Day speech that had this out. And both of the county reps were very careful to say, if this goes forward, you need to make sure that you say the counties can't carry the burden of cost to provide the service that has to come from the state. And that's what Lippman has been saying. Whether he can deliver that is another thing, but that's a part of what's being said.
Brian?
I was kind of fearful of this right from the get-go when I heard about this commission. No offense, Joe, but thanks for doing it. Can we put this in perspective just a little bit? How many felony and misdemeanor arraignments are we talking about? And the rate is what, 75?
75 for felonies, 60 for misdemeanors. Yeah. We don't have that many. The problem is that they're concentrating on city courts. And our city court has a lockup. So if someone is picked up at 2 o'clock in the morning, they can sit in the lockup until the following morning when a judge comes.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the outlying areas, they don't have such a thing.
Right.
So that person has to be arraigned quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the outlying areas. I would say we usually, when we come in on a Friday or when we come in on a Monday morning, that there's usually two or three that have been assigned or that have been arraigned. On average, over the weekend.
Well, even if they are in city lockup, you're not going to expect one attorney to come in and represent however many people. You know, over the course of a weekend, there's a lot of folks that get arrested in the city of Ithaca for crimes,
right,
felony
but
or misdemeanor.
Right.
So you're going to have an equal number of attorneys there Monday morning for that arraignment as well, but suffice it to say, very, very costly.
Yes.
May I make a comment? There are no OTRs requested and none granted. Peter?
Well, I swore I wouldn't have anything to say because I don't think there's anything we can do about this, but I can't keep my word to myself. Why, if they can put people in city lockups and wait for the attorney to come in the morning, why can't the sheriff's office put them into our lockup and return them to the court to arraign them in the morning?
Well, I mean, because someone is entitled to be timely arraigned, and they don't want to do that, and then if they're going to be ROR'd or RUS'd, or released under supervision or released on their own recognizance, why go through all that of booking them in or go through all that paperwork? So it's really time-consuming. It'll be time-consuming for them also.
Okay.
Careful what you wish for, because, you know, now you've got transport costs a couple of different ways.
There is no easy solution to this, and this is the first thing that they have brought to us, so stay tuned.
Thank you very much, both of you. Legislature, Ms. Covert wanted 45 minutes. I cut it to 30. Go ahead. The alleged budget is on 3-255.
Our budget request is 3.2% over the 2011 level. It's a result of the fringe rate increase. The staffing level is not changed. We have 15 legislators, 3 full-time staff. I have 2 OTRs. They both have been approved by the county administrator. The first one restores a position at 18 hours. The second OTR restores that same position to 40 hours. To meet the 7.8% and the 11.2% cuts in the fiscal target, the only areas we had to reduce was in personnel. And the budget, as proposed by the county administrator, maintains our current level of staffing and service that we provide to the legislature, county departments, and the public.
Okay. Questions for Kathy Covert? Mike Lane.
Remind me of what was set in the resolution as far as compensation for members of the legislature had to do with inflation. And did that? Will that come into effect next year or not?
There is money set aside in the contingency fund to support an increase if there should be one. Okay. And it's based on CPI. It's based on unemployment rate. And I think it has to be below
4%.
So it's not likely that that's going to be triggered. No. For 2012.
No, but the money is put into contingency funding in the case that it does.
Martha?
It's about 12,000.
And that, if it doesn't get used, does that become rollover or just go back to general because that's salary? Yes.
It's in general fund because it's in the contingency account.
Okay.
It would stay there and be available for other contingencies and then roll up into fund balance if it's not spent.
Kathy, I'm looking at page 257 in section 3, and that's where we've got travel and training. That's the money that we used to go to NYSAC and that sort of thing, right? So this year, 2011, it's down $1,000 from 2012, and we're expecting you requested the same amount.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
What is other?
Others?
Membership dues.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you, Kathy. Personnel. I want to schedule a break in here someplace. Let me say this, that would you all be content with doing personnel and clerk and then a break? Would that work for you? I don't see anyone saying yes, so I'm assuming that, or no, that I'm assuming that will work. Okay, Anita, Fitzpatrick Personnel Department. And her page is 3-311.
You got your pages. Good afternoon. The Personnel Department's budget, if you look at the 2011 modified, that budgeted amount includes $25,000 for professional services, which was one-time money for negotiations. It also included $16,000 for smart work money that was distributed to various departments in the county through approval of the legislature and the county administrator. So while you're seeing a change of only $7,000 between the 2 years, the difference is not attributable to just a difference in $7,600. In 2011, again, you have the $25,000 and the $16,000, which are not incorporated into 2012. But in the 2012, as recommended, it's status quo for most of the department's costs, including personnel. It represents a little bit of additional fringe cost, and there's $28,000 of smart work money that's been recommended to be placed in the budget. My next sheet says full-time equivalents.
There it is.
Okay.
Excuse me, I don't think I have this handout.
It's on your desk?
No.
Or it's not?
I didn't get this one.
Okay.
I'll make copies for tomorrow.
In 2009, the personnel department had 8 full-time equivalent staff. In 2010, it was 7 full-time equivalent, and in 2011, it's 6.77. And that's where we are in staffing for 2012 as well. In the scenarios that the departments were asked to produce for the county administrator, there was one for 11.2% or 11% and one for 7.8%. The first OTR represents going from the 11% to a 7.8% reduction, if you will. And that OTR represents restoring part of a staff person and some minor amount of adjustment for supplies. The second OTR moves from 7.8% down to essentially a 0% cut, minus the training money that was in the previous budget. So it restores staffing to the 2011 level. Then the third OTR is $12,000 added for training and $28,000 for smart work money, which again is not money devoted to the department, it's for use by the county departments. We're not asking for any OTRs that are above the property tax cap. We're asking for consideration of the personnel budget as recommended by the county administrator, which is within the budget tax cap. And the OTRs are based on the reduction scenarios submitted to the county administrator.
Okay. Anyone have any questions for Anita or Jackie? Joe.
Just a point of clarification on the training, because there was a reference to smart work. The last 2 years, we put $40,000 in the contingency account for smart work, and we've come to a committee in the full legislature every time there's been a draw on that. For 2012, what we've done is we've, first of all, reduced that to $28,000 based on kind of past actual experiences, but we've moved that money from contingency over into the personnel budget so that it can be provided for these projects more quickly than current our belief is that now that we've shown what this can do and have given you a sense of the effectiveness of the program, it might now be just a part of our ordinary training regimen and available in the personnel department budgets for projects as they arise. Certainly would report to GO and to the standing committees for projects that relate to them, but it would just allow a more fast-track approach to smart work. I reduce the contingency, by the way. Reduce the contingency by the same amount. So cut the contingency by 40 and then move 28 over into to personnel for smart work. Right.
Pat?
Anita, I see starting on section 3.315 under discipline, grievance, arbitration issues, and actions, and then going over to the next two pages, 3, 4, 5 categories that have been zeroed out between 2011 and 2012. No, four have been zeroed out. What's going to happen to that work, handling grievances and arbitration issues, diversity initiatives, labor relations, contract negotiations, and training?
On the department impact statements that we have been filling out in with administration, when we first did it, we broke it out into several different areas. And this year, as we were looking at it, we decided to combine all of those areas into the Civil Service Administration piece. So if you look at the very first section that says Civil Service Administration, that includes the discipline, the grievance, the arbitration, labor relations, contract negotiations, and diversity initiatives. In the very first one, we increased from 2011 345,715 to 2012 491,961.
I'm sorry, Ted, you're way.
I'm sorry.
On section on page 315.
Does that difference add up to what you cut from the other areas? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Carol.
Yeah, wait, I'm having trouble, it's really a kindergarten question here. I'm having trouble understanding where the OTRs that you mentioned are in our books.
All three of them are covered in the cap. She mentioned them because they are, you know, things that Joe supported under the cap. So in a department's budget, in that section, you won't find those OTRs under the cap. They're already bunched up in that column. So cap, the column that's called cap, that includes OTRs 1, 2, and 3 for personnel. There are no OTRs above that number, so therefore they won't show up there.
Well, I'm having trouble then understanding how their OTR is if they're covered under the cap, because they bring us above zero, is that?
Yes.
In effect, I mean, remember, we asked them to cut deeper than we later found they needed to cut. So these requests all came to us as OTRs. And the way we put the budget back together was to fund some of those OTRs to a point where we're now at cap, and then to recommend other OTRs that brought us to the 5.4%. So if you look in Appendix B on page 43 for personnel, remember under Appendix B, that's where we show you all of the OTRs that are supported within the cap. They're alphabetized. You can see the details.
So for personnel, what page is that on?
43.
You can see the OTRs that they requested that were supported within the cap.
Okay, thank you.
I have Frank, and was there someone else over here? Martha? Okay, go ahead, Frank.
Thanks, Jim. Joe, I was having the same problem Carol was describing. Even though the department has been able to include an OTR within the cap, and it's still within the cap, and it appears in Appendix B. Is there some way for, other than making a note on our own page when the department's making the presentation, there's no way for us to know that we should check in Appendix B if we want an explanation? Because I didn't find, like in an introductory page of general rules,
it's right behind Joe's recommended budget, right behind Joe's letter to the county, there's a three-page explanation of a lot of that.
There is.
Yeah. And then you can find in the fiscal summary doc, section 2, they're right next to each other.
Okay.
All of those summary of everything covered under the cap and everything above the cap.
And it does refer to Appendix B so that there's some consistency
yes.
in the document. Thanks.
Someone had a Joe, and then back there.
Yeah, and these are the right questions that come up tonight because this is a different process, and this whole
right.
kind of cap budget and then the recommended budget is new to all of us. Remember the basis of the cap budget. We were directed to prepare for you a budget that could be supported under the cap. That's what we've done. But we want to be absolutely transparent in terms of how we built that budget. So that's why it's kind of weird because you're seeing OTRs in some places and OTRs in other places. Really, the budget that we presented shows you that cap. So there it is. That's what you can buy into the cap. And then also shows you the OTRs that went to the 5.4%. But again, in the interest of absolute transparency, we wanted to show you how we built that cap budget, what's in there. So those are those OTRs funded under the cap, and those are in Section B.
So an OTR requested where there, well, let's take personnel, where there is a zero, that could actually say OTR outside of cap.
Yes. I mean, if we were to have a long heading, yes.
Okay.
That's exactly what it could say.
Peter.
Well, just let me summarize it in my own words. If I would be willing, if my goal would be to reduce our tax increase to 2.9%, and I had enormous faith in the county administrator, then all I would have to do is to reject everything that is in the OTRs, and that would happen. But I don't have to worry about the other ones because they were called OTRs in a different world when we didn't have all of this money that Frank found for us to put in there, and that it went from 2% to 2.9%. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, thank you.
That's when the Republicans were in control.
Oh. That was a fairly long summary and a very short question. Martha?
I'm a little confused about the numbers where... There are three OTRs that are included in the cap, but 2011 modified is 674, and cap is only 12,000 more. So, as on page 311. Now, I look at page 313, and 2011 modified is 645,000.
There's two things going here. One, we actually increase the amount of money that's sitting in their accounts to cover the smart work. There were reductions as well, but then we also had to pay for fringes, right?
So should the 2011 modified be the same number on page 311
so
and 313?
The modified... It is.
You look at the first column, and then you match that. Remember, take 1430, the personnel account, and then go back to the first page that you referenced. The very first number on that page is the same, 434.
Okay. 674. Oh, I see. Goes includes the next page.
Yeah.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
Got it.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. Now, if I go to Appendix B, page 43, you've got the three OTRs. I see some interest, what seems... Joe, you've got under recommended... they've got requested was 16,000 of rollover.
Right.
I guess applied to...
Right.
To this amount, and you've got zero. Does that
That's
mean
right.
then you're putting... property to target money behind that?
It does. And it's really, and much like last year, the general rule that we've tried to apply is you don't use one-time money to support what you believe are recurring costs.
Okay.
So we've not applied rollover for that.
That okay. is a Tyler. That is where we've taken that money and put it back in the general fund. So that's one of the two places that happened in this document.
You don't use the word Tyler anymore.
I don't.
I wish you would.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Say that again, Kevin.
That 16,000 that's sitting there, that's no longer, it's now a zero. That was just dropped in, back into the general fund. You used to use the word Tyler tax taxes in lieu of rollover. Tax increase in lieu of rollover.
Target.
Yeah. Haven't eaten all day.
Never say tax increase.
It would be a tax increase.
But you didn't take it. I think that zero means
it's zero.
So we didn't use it to reduce expenses and personnel. What we said is, if you're willing to give up that rollover money, we're willing to take it, and we're going to take it back to the general fund balance and put it there.
So it's no longer their rollover money. It's now our rollover money.
Okay, then the next page, professional services, requested was $12,000, recommended was $40,000. Is that because you're taking that contingent fund? That's the $28,000 we took from the contingent. Okay. Thank you.
Took $40,000 out of contingency that used to be for smart work, and we're plugging it in to pay for
smart work and
the training funds.
Okay, thank you.
Brian?
Joe, you said at the beginning that to get to target, you were able to fund all of priority ones.
Right.
That's not all you funded, because we can see here that there were actually three priorities.
Right.
For these folks that we were able to fund.
That's right. And that's what I was trying to convey, and that's why we want you to be able to see that, because we all number ones, all OTR number ones, and many that were beyond OTR ones. Were able to be supported. Again, what we did was we took the savings from Frank's departments and other departments,
mm-hmm.
and we used those to be able to pay for some of the growth. So under the cap, all OTR number ones and several beyond number ones, and we try to articulate what those are in the presentation and then in the appendix.
Okay. Just so I know what to anticipate, how many departments or programs where only one was able to go in target? Do you have any idea just off the top of your head?
Looks like assessment, my office. There were a few, Brian. I would say it's a half a dozen or so.
That's it?
Yeah. Now remember, a lot of what you've seen in the context of the budget are fairly small amounts.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been able to put the 20,000, the 40,000, and so forth. And again, in a lot of those areas, it was a judgment, and the judgment was that without this amount of money, the organizational infrastructure would be affected. Personnel would have to, for example, live without a full person in a, whatever it is, 6 or 7 person staff.
Mm-hmm.
Concern was they couldn't do their work.
I'm just thinking of a hypothetical where, let's say you have you have three or four of your top priorities that did get in at CAP, and then you have three or four more. You know what I'm saying?
And there,
as a department head prioritizing, I got to think about that. But.
Right. And we tried to respect the priorities attached by the departments. So, there was judgment in me looking at what I believe should be supported under the CAP, what were the most critical. And then once we went from there to the 5.4, We follow the priority order that was set by the departments in building it back to 5.4.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you get on that?
Recognizing that you came in very admirably with the 5.4% that we asked for, and recognizing that for only an additional 1%, I think you told us that we could fund all the additional over target requests. Nevertheless, I'm finding it difficult to work without the list we used to get in one spot. I think what's now in section 2, starting on page 7, where it lists all the OTRs and summarizes them. We used to get all of them listed there.
They're all there.
Well,
and then the next section also has all above the cap. Below the cap, above the cap.
So it's in two sections, so you've got to go back and forth between the two sections. You can't just go through in order. Is it? If I'm the only one, I'll look back and forth. But I these are the pages that used to come to us in blue, and I used to carry them around all the time and use them and go through them, and they were all in alphabetical order.
But the challenge for us was, and there are ways to improve this, I'm sure. The challenge for us was, we really have two budgets here. We have a CAP budget.
and then we have the 5.4% budget. So the challenge was really how to present this in a way that gives you the information that makes this transparent and understandable without so cluttering all the information we gave you that it made it impossible for you to use it as a decision tool. So, again, we can rearrange this however you'd like, but that was our goal.
I'm willing to spend a few days trying to get used to this first, but
well, I think that's a problem for everyone. And you know, when things change, you have to adjust to the change. And 2 years from now, everyone will, as long as they don't change it, they'll be in good shape. Anyone else? Thank you very much, Anita, Jackie.
Thank you.
County Clerk, 3-61. And Laura and.
In case you don't know, I'm Aurora Valenti, the county clerk. This is Maureen Reynolds, my deputy. The pocketbook strings.
So basically, we came in within the one OTR that required within the cap. We didn't have any OTRs over the cap. Our staffing has not changed. And the one within the cap we asked for was more scanning of the record field library so that we can get that building emptied and not need to store them anywhere.
Questions for these people? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Don't be loud. Go ahead.
No, is there anywhere where we're seeing trends? Maybe I haven't got to it. But trends on the DMV, your the fees and all that you.
Right now, October of 2012 will be the end of the 8-year license cycle. Mm-hmm. So that's when the revenue will start coming down. Then I know the County Clerks Association is in negotiations with New York State DMV. About getting a portion of all the online work. I mean, they might be able to do it online, but they've had big staffing cuts there, and they really need our county offices. So they're trying to work out some deals so that we get some of that money back, which we don't get unless you walk into our office.
Thank you.
Frank, or Carolyn Frank.
Okay, I'm going to take one more stab at not having to flip. I feel like I have to flip back and forth to four different sections to see what all the county clerk budget pieces are. I have to look at the requests over target requests, over the 2.9 and under the 2.9 and their main section and then section four. So I'm still finding that hard. I think the last time we had a list at least on the page with the schedule.
Let me interrupt. Are you going to ask a question, or do you want specific things from staff?
Yes. Can we get?
Staff?
How about I'm taking another stab at how we can know? Because I mean, I have trouble with my eyes, so I'm particularly inconvenienced by this. To get and my fingers, so to get to the various four sections. So at least if I knew, if I had a listing on our budget presentation schedule of what pages the four different sections are. So that I could look at them in advance and prepare, that would be another way to deal with it.
Would it be helpful if for tomorrow night and beyond, we gave you a table, and the table showed for each department, here are the OTR,
the
and it's just that it's going to be oversimplified, but it will say how much the OTR is, maybe a quick statement of purpose, and whether it's within cap or outside cap. That, would that help?
Well,
if we were to figure out just kind of a master table that had that.
Yeah, if there could be the page numbers that they're on too, that would be helpful. Whether it's in the, the Acrobat document page number that I can follow along, or the pages in our book, okay. Either one, that would be helpful as well. But
well, we'll try to do a simple table then, and you can then kind of look at the details as you choose. But we'll try to make it easier to take a quick picture of what the OTRs are on a
Frank.
Now, Aurora, bear with me. Maureen knows all the answers, right? She didn't
answer. What are you
having
for dinner? I don't know.
Account 1410, county clerk.
Mm-hmm.
professional services. Some of us haven't had a chance to digest all the contracts that we're going through. There's a $60,000 jump from 2011 to 2012. Can you say what that represents off the top of your head?
Yes. Our county clerk software program that we have for the imaging in our office, the vendor can't support it anymore, so we have to go out and get a new vendor. So it'll be for purchasing the software, and then we'll have a small yearly service contract. So next year is a big push for that one-time money. We have DMV revenues to offset it, so it didn't come, it came in within the property tax cap.
Isn't the current one can't be supported any longer,
right,
is what you said?
Right, yeah.
So what becomes of that? It just goes...
Well, all the data and images we maintain and will be moved over to the new system.
And
we are the only clerk's office in the entire state that's completely digital.
And then it's trashed after that?
The software program is, not the data, not the images.
No, not
we
the
have
data.
All that stuff. So that'll just be moved over to a new software program, which actually the new software program will support the e-filing, e-recording, and where we see the clerk's office going in the future.
Is the current system being used in any other county?
Yes.
Can't we sell, once you strip all the information off it, can't we sell the system to another county who's continuing
to use it? We don't
own it.
We don't own it.
We don't own it?
We don't own the software.
No, it's licensed.
If we rent it, why don't we just sell it, quote unquote, back to the vendor?
They own it already.
Yeah, that's not the way the licensing agreement works, I think. That computer thing, Frank.
We don't have to pay him anymore.
Joe?
Yeah, one quick comment on the clerk's office, and you may be asking how it is that they only needed a relatively small OTR to hold their own in this budget. Remember, the way we hit target is really twofold, by reducing expenditures or by having higher revenues. I think this is a case where there was some revenue growth that's expected in 2012 that helped them get to their spending amount. So that's the reason why in this case they didn't need a significant OTR to be able to, again, kind of hold their own.
Dooley.
Listening to the explanation about needing to look for another vendor, I went to Appendix C to look at contracts, and I don't see any for county clerk. So that reflects the fact that you're between vendors. Is that why there are no contracts?
Yeah, we just pay a yearly service contract fee. We actually bought the software in 2001, I think, and then we just do a service contract each year with them.
Well, would that service contract not be listed under the contracts in Appendix C?
It's a pull from the information they provide me, so it must not have gotten
it didn't come
it
to you.
Added in. Yeah.
So maybe you could add it.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you both very much. We are going to take about a 10-minute break.
Thank you.
You're welcome. There is food there. We have three more meetings this month. What I would